Yeah, another busy weekend in the English Premier League. Chelsea defeating Spurs shortly after the death, of course, we heard very sadly, of the legendary Jimmy Greaves. We're going to have a look back on this and all the weekend sport with Off the Ball's Ger Gilroy. We should kick off with Messi getting subbed off for PSG after 77 minutes.
So last night, there are pictures doing the rounds of a very angry looking Leo Messi being subbed off. It's 1-1 against Lyon. There's 13 minutes of normal time left. And, you know, you're taking off the player who's supposed to be the best player in the world, who's going to score a goal late on. The whole point of getting Leo Messi into your club was so that he would win these games. And then they do win the game anyway in the 94th minute when Mauro Icardi scores. And you're like,
much to his delight to see his team do so well.
He was so happy. I mean, look, maybe he was celebrating at that stage. Obviously, a picture tells 1,000 words, but then there are 6 million pictures and there's always one of him looking very, very angry. He's obviously a countryman of the manager. There was an assumption that the bond would be there, but it doesn't seem to be. And the team aren't playing particularly well. They only drew 1-1 in the Champions League last week. So all is not well. You can live in a kingdom of money and, you know, sometimes you can be unhappy with it.
And is subbing off of necessity always a snub, or can it be seen as you're resting your genius?
Well, that's what the manager said afterwards. We were concerned about his injury profile, but it's like, hang on a second. I mean, Leo Messi didn't appear to be happy with it and certainly didn't agree with the decision. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's very early on, right? It's very, very early days. But if you're looking for any hope that maybe money isn't going to be the only thing that wins football matches forever, because it should be, that's that the biggest criteria is who spends the most money in the wage bills, that actually there might be some romance left in the game, you know, maybe. Maybe the petrol states aren't going to be the only international teams winning matches at club football from now on.
If we're talking football, we have to talk about the death of Jimmy Greaves. And I have to admit, it was only when I began to read the obituaries, I knew him effectively only as the sort of the affable half of St and Greavesy. And then you see the track record and go, wow, there's a lot there.
Well, football apparently only started in 1992, right? That's the thing here. In fairness, like over the years, we would have had John Giles on every Thursday night, and he has always maintained that one of the greatest goal scorers of this or any other generation was Jimmy Greaves. He'd have him right up there with Cristiano Ronaldo. That's the kind of level of footballer that he was. Played in a Spurs team, joined Spurs after they'd won the league, didn't actually win a league himself, wasn't in the England team in 66 because of injury and loss of form, even though he was the best player at the time, so didn't quite get the affirmation that Jeff Hurst gets, because Jeff Hurst scores that hat-trick. And, you know, it's kind of the example of the narrative of the result being the most important thing from a historical perspective. Here's the best player who's kind of ignored by virtue of the fact that he wasn't actually on the field of play. And his battle to get the recognition for that, didn't get a World Cup winner's medal until I think 1990, when it was kind of given to him as this kind of sop to him. Partly because he was famous. Partly because he became famous through TV, like beyond football. So,
He still has the record for youngest Premier League player to ever reach the 100 goals.
Yeah, I mean, obviously top flight football, because that's the whole point. Is that people talk about Harry Kane is chasing Alan Shearer's record, but he's not really, because Alan Shearer was 80 or 100 goals short of what Jimmy Greaves was for top flight football. And it was only two seasons ago that Cristiano Ronaldo passed Jimmy Greaves' record in the top five leagues in world football. So all those records are the kind of frayed yellow paper. That's how they have essentially disappeared by virtue of the Premier League becoming the all-consuming entity with which football is framed.
He also seems to have been an interesting man. When you read about his openness about his own addictions and everything else, he was as interesting off the pitch as he was on.
I think the openness was actually a kind of hugely important moment in his life, where he gives an interview and he talks about being an alcoholic and uses this as the bit where it's like, okay, this is my coming out moment and my recovery moment, and his recovery begins by going public with it. So, and again, I'm not really sure that would have happened that much. You know, you've got to think back to what the atmosphere is like in the 70s and 80s and 90s. Alcoholism was supposed to be kind of done in private or on the talk show circuit, where you were kind of wheeled out like Oliver Reed and George Best, whereas entertainment for the masses, oh, this is our funny alcoholic friend. Whereas he actually used that as an opportunity to get sober and became sober after that. So yeah, I think, you know, you can't underrate how important a public person talking about their struggles and overcoming those struggles in public is.
And of course, in the football, we had Manchester United beating West Ham. We had Chelsea 3-0 against Spurs. We should talk rugby, though, because the Irish women's team had a stormer against Italy and could probably have even done better given the way they were playing.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting week that the Irish women's rugby team and the sport has had. Obviously, there was the scandal of the women being treated as amateurs in Energia Park and having to get changed beside the rubbish dump. And then the team itself, the national team, failed last weekend, played abysmally, one of the worst games that they've played in a long period of time. So huge pressure on that team to deliver and essentially save and spare the IRFU's blushes. So it all rolls forward to next week now, where if they win, they're almost guaranteed to play in the World Cup next year. And that'll be an opportunity for everybody to go, oh no, look, nothing to see here. There's no story. Everything is going great. We've made loads of investment. Sure, look, in fairness, Bavin Parsons deserves everybody's support that anybody who plays sport for Ireland gets. She was absolutely sensational yesterday and she is an incredible talent. So get behind the team, sure, but let's hold the IRFU to account for what they're doing.
We should talk as well about Mayo GAA releasing a statement condemning the abuse of players and in support of the manager, James Horan. Significant on a number of levels, I would have thought.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? It's like the PRO and the county board are forced to issue a statement, but they don't actually name any names about what they're saying. Is it online trolls? Is it a statement specifically aimed at Joe Brawley without naming Brawley because of the stuff that Brawley's been writing in the papers? You kind of just wish people would say what they actually, you know, these are the instances where we find this to be unacceptable and this is why it's unacceptable.
Although I assume their reluctance is you don't want to give it credence or further attention by restating.
You know, I mean, what's the point of that then? Is it online trolls? Is it your own supporters? Is it supporters from other counties? Or is it pundits? Because these are all different things. Like,
because that's how I read it. I read it as your own supporters, that it was within county resentment.
It's hard to know. Right. Because I read it as they're pissed off about Joe Brawley. That's what I read it as, and they should just say that. And if they are, they need to address it. And I don't know, maybe you're right. Maybe they don't want to engage with him because obviously he's got the Sunday papers every week to keep going at them if he decides to. But like, the well of sympathy for Mayo is running pretty low at this stage. They need to get over the line and they need to get their own house in order. And so, like, statement's important to make sure that everybody on your team is aware that you're all on the same team. But, you know, like, come on.
On that note, Ger, thank you so much. That is Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball Now.